First Corinthians in chapter 1. Just want to read two verses here in this chapter. Verses 21 and, let's see, make it verse 22. Verse 22 and 23 is where we're going here. And we'll go down into verse 24. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay, we can hold it there. This, when Pastor asked me about a month ago or so if I felt like I'd be able to fill in today, I said, yeah, I think we're about there. And I started thinking about what I was going to do, what we were going to talk about. And you know, the other day, I walked out my front door and caught my very first whiff of spring in the air. You know, that when you get that first smell of winter is ebbing and spring is coming on, and it's just such a great thing to just have that in the air. And among all the things that means, with spring coming and winter leaving, it means that we're coming into the season that we call Easter, or if you prefer, Resurrection Day. I always call it Easter. I figure it's good enough for my King James Bible. It's good enough for me. And it's about a month away yet, but for me, it's the season. It's that spring in the air and smell of new life and the cold and dark time being passing. And this time of sunshine and life, just now kind of being born again. So I started thinking about that, and this passage came to mind, and it's not one you think about often in terms of an Easter passage, and it's not, Easter's a month away yet, so I guess that works. But Paul says here that in verse 23 and 24 in particular, he says, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I've been thinking about that the Lord Jesus Christ here in this place, you know, there are many places in the Bible that talk about where we can look, that point us to different places we can look to see the power of God. The 19th Psalm says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And Paul in Romans chapter 1 says that the creation shows the invisible things of God, his eternal power and Godhead. And so we can look at the creation and we can see the creation shows, it displays and it declares the power of God. This passage says that Christ is the power of God. In our scripture reading a little bit earlier, we saw in John chapter 1 that as the Word, before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he in fact was the creator of all of those things that we see that display the power of God. When you look at that creation, you're looking at the work of Jesus Christ. You're looking at his handiwork, at the power of God that resides, that lives in him. So we can see that before our eyes. Paul says the invisible things of him are made known by the things we can see. So that's there for us as a constant reminder. But this passage says more than that. It doesn't just say that Christ is the power of God. It says Christ crucified is the power and wisdom of God. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's not just talking about the fact that the pre-incarnate Word created all things and displayed this magnificent power. He's talking about the cross. And he says Christ crucified, that's what we preach. And to the world it's foolishness and weakness, but to you and me it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, you think about that, Christ crucified, the power of God. You know, people have, come over, turn back just a few pages to Romans chapter 5. People have been fighting since the beginning, employing all of their power and wisdom against this thing we call death. Right? People have been trying not to die since people have been dying. Nobody has managed to win that fight. So you look at a man who's crucified and you say, well, there's just another guy succumbing to the final enemy. No matter how powerful man thinks he is, no matter how wise he thinks he is, just can't beat that one. So how is Christ crucified? The power of God. Well, you and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just any man. Amen. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, the reason that all men are subject to this great and powerful enemy of death is because all have sinned. It's because of sin. Death is the creation and the product of sin. Paul says it's the wages of sin. God told Adam way back from the beginning, if you disobey, if you sin, you're going to die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The problem we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is that he died. But he was not, he didn't have sin. He was a soul without sin. And I just said that's the problem we have. That's not the problem we have. That's the problem death had. Because Jesus Christ, Paul says that Christ crucified is the power of God. And the power of God resides in Christ crucified in that he was the sinless man who died. He was the sinless man who died. See, death is the direct result of sin. James says that sin gives birth to death. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he gave himself over to that final enemy. To death, to that thing that Adam, according to this passage, brought in through sin and then passed upon all men. And the Lord Jesus Christ took his place there amongst all men. And he gave himself. The Lord said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And the Lord gave himself to death. Paul says, even the death of the cross. But he didn't have any sin. Come back again a few pages to Acts chapter 2. Now what that means, that Jesus Christ was the sinless man who died, that's a problem for death. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, death found itself in a serious dilemma.
Amen.
Death had a huge problem. Because here we have a man who died, but he has no sin. Sin, Paul says, the sting of death is sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, death had no claim. It had no hold. There was nothing to grab him by. He had nothing whereby death could hold him. Because he had no sin. Sin is the handle on every man that death grabs a death grip hold on. And it's what keeps men in death. Here death is now with a man who has no sin. There's nothing to grab him by. Acts chapter 2, verse 23, this is Peter preaching to those Jews there in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 23, him, the Lord, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Death couldn't hold him. It was impossible. So the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, is the power of God, in that he was the sinless man who died. And in death, by dying, he defeated death. He beat death. He beat death not only for himself, but for you and for me. And Paul says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that he that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The Lord Jesus Christ beat death. He beat it for himself. He beat it for you and for me. And he beat death. And this is where, you know, every time I go out and I get that smell of spring in the air, I think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, it goes beyond himself and it goes beyond you and me. Because the fact is that ever since Lucifer, Paul in that passage in Romans 5 says, by one man sin entered the world, but by one angel, by one cherub, sin entered the universe. And the whole creation, when Lucifer fell, the whole creation died. All of it separated from God. The Lord Jesus Christ, by dying without sin, he reconciled all things in heaven and earth back to God. He resurrected the universe. He rose from the dead and he beat death. He abolished the power of death.
Amen.
And that is the power of God in Christ crucified. Now, our passage says that Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And how is Christ crucified the wisdom of God? We'll come back again to the book of Romans in chapter 8 this time. Because as Christ crucified is the power of God in that he died without sin, Christ crucified is the wisdom of God in that he died with sin. He died with sin. Paul says that he who had no sin became sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So He died with sin. We've already seen, though, that that sin that He died with wasn't His own. He died without sin, and yet He died with sin. And it's the power of God that He died without sin, because He beat death by dying without sin. And it's the wisdom of God that He died with sin. He died with your sin and mine. And that's the wisdom of God, because what that does is that enables God to justify you and me. God, who said, "I will by no means clear the guilty." By no means. And yet here you and I are justified. How is that possible? Only by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Because you know what? God doesn't clear the guilty. First, before He can justify you, He needs to take your guilt away. The Lord Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins so that God could take your guilt away.
Hallelujah.
And justify you so that He can be just while justifying me, a sinner. So that He's not an unjust judge who sees a guilty man before Him and says, "Innocent, let him go free." That's an unjust judge. But God is just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. That's the wisdom of God, that Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, He died with sin, yours and mine. But it goes beyond that. Romans chapter 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." The Lord Jesus Christ, when I say the Bible says He died with sin, that's He died with your sin and with mine, but it also means that He died with sin. Sin died with Him. Like Samson died with the Philistines, Jesus Christ died with sin. In the throes of death, nailed to that cross, He grabbed hold of sin and He pulled it down into death with Him. When He died, sin died. And He died with sin. So He overcame death by dying without sin. And He overcame sin by dying with it.
Amen.
And Paul says that Christ crucified, it's all there. It's all there in that cross. When He died, what happened when He died? He died and He defeated death.
Amen.
He died and He defeated sin. Now, sin and death now are beaten. He's condemned sin. Sin that condemned you, Jesus Christ has condemned. And He killed death. He killed death and He condemned sin. Now, sin and death, Paul says, we're free now. We're free from both.
Amen.
We're free from sin and death, from the law of sin and death. And that happened at that cross. It's what the Lord did there. And now, you know, we're talking about the great enemies of God. We're talking about God's power and God's wisdom and how he manifested both. And not just, again, the creation manifests the power of God. But Jesus Christ and him crucified is the power of God.
Amen.
This is where he did it. He did the work. He worked his power there in Christ crucified and showed it there. And his wisdom. Now, when you think about wisdom and you think about the great enemies of God, we got to talk about the lesser enemy. You know, death, Paul says, that's the final enemy. That's the big one. Sin gives birth to death. Sin is the mother of death. So those two, they go together. But there's a lesser foe called Satan. Satan the less. And see, now what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ killed death and condemned sin by the cross, by being crucified, Satan is now stripped of his power. Hebrews says that the devil had the power of death, and Jesus Christ snatched that away from him. Now Satan is powerless. And by his wisdom, God lured that subtle serpent into biting his own tail.
Amen.
Into stinging himself when he crucified Christ. When he moved those people that Peter just accused, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And yeah, they did that. And they did that under the guidance of Satan himself. Satan entered into Judas when he went to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was him behind that. And Satan, you know, Satan did everything that he could during Christ's life to tempt him to sin. And the Lord never succumbed to that. He withstood it. So Satan, now look, this is, think about this and you'll get some insight into what the devil really wants. So you think about it and you say, well, what the devil wants is the devil wants for me to sin. Well, yeah, but sin is not an end. Sin is a means to an end, because what's the result of sin?
Death.
See, Satan couldn't get Christ to sin, but he still wanted him to die.
Amen.
That's what Satan wants. He wants you to die. And he'll do that by sin. But his end goal is your death. So Satan tries to get the Lord to sin and he can't get him to do that. So he says, well, I'll just have to kill him. I can't get sin to kill him. I'll just have to kill him myself. So he did. And by doing that, he did the very thing that stripped him of all of his power. Death is now powerless before the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is now condemned before the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan now, he's got nothing left. He beat himself. God, by his wisdom, lured him. The Lord Jesus Christ, our passage in 1 Corinthians says to the Jew, it's foolishness. To the Greek, it's weakness. The other way around, either one or the other, it's foolishness and weakness to the world. That's the idea. Well, that foolish, that weak and foolish Christ, so foolish as to lure Satan, sin, and death into a circular firing squad, into a triangle that they couldn't escape from, and then so weak as to seize each one and to pound them against each other until they were all defeated until there was not a breath left between them. He beat Satan with his own sin. He beat sin by his own death. And he beat death by dying, having withstood Satan's temptations to sin.
Thank God.
He beat them with each other. This weak and foolish Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And for you and for me, now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he did all that, he did it on our behalf, not just to take our guilt away. There's that. Praise God. But now you, by the same crucified Christ, have the power to withstand Satan,
Amen.
To overcome sin, and to transcend death by the crucified Christ, the power and wisdom of God. That power and that wisdom is available to you and to me. Because he was crucified. Because he died without sin. And because he died with sin. And he did that for you. He did that for you. You don't want to just smell that in the air. You want to take that and you want to live that. He died that so that we could live that.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your power and for your wisdom and for centering it all in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you've opened our eyes. And Lord, as we look around in this world and we see those who call evil good and good evil, Father, I pray that you would keep it in our hearts and in our minds that your word doesn't just predict their coming, but it says, woe to them who call evil good and good evil. Father, that we would keep that in mind, that these poor people who we all too easily consider our enemies and thorns in our side, that these people have got some woe coming to them. Lord, let us be a manifestation of your power and of your wisdom in this world, Father, that we might walk and live among them by your grace, that they could see it, that they could see your power and your wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank and praise you for it in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.